everybody. Welcome back to Rebootleggers. It's a comedy podcast. Well, we'll get there. It's a comedy podcast in which we reboot everything. I'm Scott Owen.
I'm Frank Serra.
Frank, it is...
It's a new year, Scott.
Thank you.
New year, new me.
Thank you.
I kind of choked up. It's cool. It's time to wipe the slate clean.
Yeah. At the time of this recording, it is December 31st, 2017, and we are ready to wipe it clean. I think we are all ready to send off 2017 with a good old fuck you, 2017. Tell it to just fuck right off and
give it a bus ticket
and send
it out the door.
Point out the door. There is the door. And we thought,
can you even get tickets for buses anymore? Does that happen?
I think
do you have physical tickets for a bus?
Or they was it all do. Just... I've done it. Well, when I did it, I bought like a book of tickets so that I could buy once and then use them for a while. But so we originally started this podcast with the intention of, you know, making good movies, and that kind of got away from us. And so
we found out we were pretty funny.
There's a reason we found out we were very funny, and we changed our formula.
Why don't we be cocky?
No, not cocky at all. And but we decided, you know, new year, new us, new podcast, and we'd really change things.
We made
up
a New Year's resolution.
Our resolution for this year is to do serious, good reboots of. Mm-hmm. Not just movies anymore. And to that end, I would like to delve into the realm of reboots, if we're being honest, the comic book world.
The reboot universe.
And I think a character who is ripe.
Pictures.
Who is ripe for pictures that don't move.
Pictures that, but they seem like they're gonna move.
They do. I just wanted to clarify.
That's kind of what their deal is, and I like a lot.
Sometimes they call movies pictures is the thing, even though they're not pictures, they're movies.
Yeah, I never really liked that much.
But so we're gonna go into the non-moving pictures, but almost moving, and I think a character that is ready for a reboot, and he's just got a lot of room to wiggle and run, is the Flash.
Oh, because. You get room.
Because he runs.
Yeah.
Now, we did reboot the CW Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a ha-ha reboot. And it was a good ha-ha reboot. But this is going to be like a for real serious reboot of...
Yeah, we've got actual ideas.
Yeah, I have some actual ideas for this comic book character. And I realize it sounds like we're doing like... A bit, and we're setting it
this
up as if
bit.
It's going to be... This is serious. I have some good
ideas.
We
actually are
going to
do a real reboot about The Flash, because we like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a good character, despite...
It's my voice. It sounds like I'm always about to make a joke, but this episode is going to be real.
It's just how Frank talks. He's either the first or last person you get when you want him to... When you need bad news delivered, depending on what kind of reaction you're hoping to get.
Mm-hmm.
But so, Frank, give us just a brief history of this fast boy.
Of the fast boy?
Yeah.
So the Flash hit DC Comics in the 40s, basically, but let's kind of skip a lot of that history.
Okay.
Basically, he's a very fast man.
Very fast.
And his speed isn't, like, part of his muscles. He has access to a power, and he's from DC Comics. I don't know if I mentioned that.
You did.
So.
DC Comics, not Marvel.
So Marvel Comics tries to play things as very, like... Marvel tries to play like a super science angle where there's explanations for things even if the science isn't real, you know? They go with genetic mutations and things like that, where DC plays a little bit more in the fantastical. So the Flash has access to another dimension of energy called the Speed Force. The Speed Force, it kind of sits near us and it's just full of juice, basically.
It sits near us, around us, between us.
Yeah, it's just the Speed Force is everywhere.
It's like the regular force, but fast.
So the Flash has the ability to touch the Speed Force and draw speed energy, basically. And so then that makes him move really fast and stuff, but it's not like because of his muscles. It's because he has this ability to like touch the speed juice that's all around everything.
Yeah, and it also makes it so that he, like, even though he's moving fast, everything around him seems to move slow to him.
Mm-hmm. And also, this Speed Force is also the kind of catch-all explanation for things like
he can time
relativistic
travel.
Speeds and like not like, you know, if somebody's actually moving that fast and they touch a person, they would like break every bone in their body. Right. Like the Speed Force, quote unquote, takes care of it. That's just part of the package of the comic.
Right. So that's kind of his powers are kind of the main focus of what I'd like to reboot here. And
yeah,
the way his
similar to Superman, the Flash's powers are really dependent on who's writing the story now. Like in a lot of times he can only run really fast. Like other people make it so that he can like pull it into his brain and like think super fast while he's standing still. And other, like, some people do things where, like, he can run so fast that he, like, walks on water and, like, makes tsunamis and stuff. Like, it's just really, like, it's really wildly scaling power.
Yeah, and there was one with, there was a comic where, like, the city got destroyed and they're all like, oh, we're gonna have to clean this up. And Barry, or Hal, Green Lantern says to him, what, you could clean this up and, like, 2 minutes, and he's like, yeah, but it would feel like 4 hours to me. And so that's kind of what sparked this idea for me, where there's this concept that when the Flash moves very, very fast, he's running so fast that everyone else seems to be sitting still. Like it's his brain perceives the rest
of
the world.
He's moving normal. It's just that everyone else stopped for him.
Right. And so one, that would be a shitty power if we're thinking about it. Like, it's a cool power from everyone else's perspective, but from your own perspective, the idea that, like, oh, I can get from, you know, one side of the country to the other in 10 seconds, but
imagine if you have to actually run that.
Right. To him, it feels like he has to actually run that for that whole time.
For, like, weeks.
And so I think that a cool way to reboot him would to be he doesn't actually have speed powers. What he has is time powers.
Okay. And so the Flash's stories are typically really, really muddled with time travel anyway.
Because of
the whole,
travel.
Like, I can run so fast that I go back into the past by accident.
Yeah,
like,
or go into the future on purpose.
Yeah, like, I open wormholes with my feet because they're so fast. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of weird stuff.
They gave him a treadmill that lets him open. When he runs fast enough on it, it opens wormholes.
Yeah, the comics don't have the... This is all real. We're not joking about these things that have happened in the comics.
Yeah. Comics are some of the best things.
Older comics, yeah, they were. They happened.
They happened, but so if we look at it, his powers make more sense if they're like he's got this. I like the idea of him having time powers in that he can basically speed up or. We'd have to allow. I think we could go the other way. Slow down his own like personal passage of time, kind of like Hero from Heroes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Who can bend time and space. So, because we see the Flash do things like very quickly, like change other people's clothes and stuff like that, where it's like he would have to, one, he would break those people by touching them.
Yeah.
And ignoring all this Speed Force hand waving. And two, like the fact that he can perceive like the world moving normally around him, even though he's moving so super fast. I think it's cooler if his power is he's got this like time bubble that he can turn on and off for his own personal like time passage. So he can make himself move his own personal like time move very quickly. So he basically like slips into an a parallel time stream where everyone else is moving slow to him. And then he can run around and move people around without breaking them. And then also, of course, he can learn to go forward and back in time.
So would there be a physical boundary? Because one of the things that the Speed Force does is when the Flash is moving extremely fast, he is moving extremely fast relative to the entire world. Like, he can get to the other side of the country before something happens there.
Right, yeah. I think we would keep that. So it's not necessarily a time bubble. It's more just like he can change his own personal...
He can slip into a series of time streams that are faster or slower.
Yeah, and so the slower would be
like changing gears, basically, with his time, like bicycle gears.
Yeah, like bicycle gears. And I think the other reason I like this is because it can create a very cool like limiter on his powers, because basically every time he were to turn on his powers and start moving faster than everyone else, it would also mean that he's aging while no one else is aging. So if he uses his powers too much, he'll be like 30 years older than everyone else in a matter of like...
That is actually another thing that the comics have brought up. Oh. And again, the Speed Force just makes it so that while he's holding the Speed Force, he like inverse ages with how fast he's going so that he ages normally.
Interesting.
Like, again, they just go like every time something that's actually, you know, kind of real world comes up, whoever is writing the Flash at that time just kind of sticks it in there and goes, oh yeah, the Speed Force, it's fine.
Okay.
Because the Speed Force just does it.
So I would like to reboot it so that the Speed Force doesn't fix that. So then this creates like real world cost and consequences for every time he uses his powers. So I think we would do that. So if we were to reboot him from the ground up, you know, beginning of his run, if you will, he would, like, he's a young buck who's very excited about these powers, and he would use them a lot at first until suddenly people start noticing that he's looking older than he is.
Yeah, like, he's, you know, he's supposed to be 18, but he's 23 or whatever.
Yeah, now he looks like he's, like, 23, just right in that good, like, sexy, can't tell what age he is range.
And, I mean, we're still trying to sell tickets, so.
Right. Sell tickets to comic books.
To the comic books.
And so then it could turn into some like cool later stories where he'll like only use his powers if it's like really worth it.
And it becomes a precision game where he, you know, maybe for most of the time he's running at normal speed except for like 5 real world seconds of super speed to do the one thing and then turning it back off again. You know, where he starts to
he's going to like
become really surgical with the exact time frame he needs to be sped up and then stop again and try to minimize the damage.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. And
then even as he ages, he begins to spend time in a slower time stream.
Yeah, to like let people
catch up. And relying on his friends to like poke in and like wake him up to normal time so that he can try to preserve himself more.
Right, yeah. He would like, so he might go and age like a week or something and then go drop into a short time stream or a slower time stream.
Where he just sits in a chair for
what feels to him like a week.
A month, but for him it's a couple minutes or whatever.
Well, if we're going the other way, so if he goes into a slower time stream, that means he appears to sit still to everyone else, right?
Yeah.
So
he would sit still for a couple hours, but in his slower time stream, he would have been sitting still for... Wow, so yeah, I see the problem.
He would have to sit still for like a full week of... He would sit still for a week of regular time, but for him, it's like an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Because time moves so slow for him.
Yeah, and that's a way that he can...
He can catch it. He can let everyone else catch up to him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually like unage him. It just brings everyone else back up to where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think creates some good opportunity for drama.
Yeah, he definitely has to balance risk
and reward,
where he comes out of the cocoon and his friends are like, all right, time to catch you up, everything went super bad,
all your kids are dead.
Yeah, well,
you have kids.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, if he sat for like a long time, I feel like he would try to check in.
How could they wake him up out of the thing, because they move so fast to him, he wouldn't be able to see them.
Well, I think they would have to like, they would have to do something like leave, like go into the room and like leave an object, and then like
that he would
like
eventually
in like a few days he would notice it was there.
A few days their like, time, but like almost instantly his time.
Yeah, yeah. He would like notice it was there now and then like wake up.
So would that object not just be like a handwritten note that says, "Hey, get up"?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I've got the consumption.
What? We'll get that in post.
Yeah, okay, so there's also been his power. Would we keep time travel?
Mm-hmm.
How would,
like, actual...
How would we, like, how would he do
moving
that?
Through time.
Yeah.
I think that maybe he... I kind of like if he presents his powers as time travel, but in reality, he's just, like, bubbling and waiting.
Yeah, I like that. And then that would mean he can't go back in time. He can only go forward in time by slowing his time stream down, or speeding his time stream up.
I think he simulates, you know, he'll slow bubble and then like spend, you know, for him, he'll spend like time, you know, gathering info and like thinking things through. and then come out of the bubble. I'm sorry, he'll use a fast bubble to like plan everything and then pretend like he knew the whole time, even though it's been a couple minutes.
Yeah, and then if he wants to pretend like he travels forward in time, he has to go like in his secret hideout and slow bubble.
And wait like a few years and then come out having only aged a couple minutes.
Yeah, and everyone would be like,
we're playing really fast and loose with the ratios, but I'll assume that he can dial them in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Let's talk about which Flash are we doing. There's a lot of Flashes.
Yeah, so the popular Flash that almost everyone knows about and that was in Justice League and things, that was Barry Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem sticking with him because the others are pretty niche.
Wally West was the one in Justice League.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Actually, the cartoon, yeah.
And Wally West was originally Kid Flash.
Yeah.
The Flash's sidekick, who then got stuck in a Speed Force.
It becomes, yeah.
And then they got him out. So yeah, we could just do Barry. How can we reboot some of his villains as well? Because you need good villain reboots in this.
Yeah, so removing time travel to the past can complicate some things.
Yeah, because his main villain is the Reverse Flash, who comes from the future to the past.
Mm-hmm. So in the future, in the year 3000 and X or whatever, in the original comics in the 40s, he was from like 2005, like the future paradise or whatever. But... so we're going to have to bump that up. But so Reverse Flash is the arch nemesis of the future, like adult man, Barry Allen, the Flash. And so Reverse Flash discovers that he can run fast enough to go backwards in time. And he says, all right, this is going to be easy. I'll run back in time and kill young Flash before he like learns all my moves.
Right. But what he does is
it just kind of turns into a cycle.
He kills young Flash's mom, which is what like makes young Flash want to become a crime fighter, right?
Yeah, yeah. So like if he had never even gone back in time, the Flash would never have existed, which would never have made Reverse Flash his enemy, which would never have made him go back. And so it's this kind of unbroken cycle now.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Flash can't ever get rid of Reverse Flash, because if he does, it'll kind of break the paradox. Or it'll cause the paradox, and it'll make him not exist.
Right. Okay, so Reverse Flash would have to be from the past?
Okay. So part of the defining thing is that Reverse Flash in the comics has the exact same powers as the Flash. He can touch the Speed Force and do anything the Flash can do.
Right. What if our reboot, the Reverse Flash, has the exact opposite powers of the Flash?
So instead of speeding up time, he can slow down time, and then instead of slowing down time, he can speed up time.
Well, maybe we only give the Flash one of those powers, and the Reverse Flash has also only one of those powers.
Oh.
So like Flash can only slow down time around him, and Reverse Flash can only speed up time around him.
Only speed it up. So what the Reverse Flash does then is more of a master strategy thing, yeah. Right? Where like he performs very long-term plans because he'll be around a human lifetime, but on Earth he'll be around for a couple hundred years.
Yeah. So how could that be a useful power?
Yeah. That's good cuz he gets to stay on the back line and be like a puppeteer, right? Cuz he's got like generations of followers and stuff.
Right. And so he'll take like an hour for his time. That's like a week for everyone else's time. And they're like, hey, what's the plan? And they're like, I don't know. We haven't heard from Reverse Flash for a while. And then he'll pop out and be like,
yeah, like he'll basically just hand out like note cards of like, here's what you're going to do for the next month.
Yeah. Like nobody sees him for a while. Okay. That's pretty cool. And so he can travel forward, or can he travel back? He can just let the,
I think he still only travels forward,
he could just let the past catch up to him.
Yeah.
Where, okay. So maybe the Flash will meet him and at some point and he'll be like, I've been planning this for 40 years. And he's like, but we went to high school together and you look still like you are 16.
And you look still like a high school kid. You're probably 22 or 23 because we got to sell tickets.
Because we got to sell tickets.
I like that. I think I like too that if they're both using their powers and they meet, they're both moving normal.
But how?
Like they Shrek each other.
So
if they both put up a slow and then a fast bubble at the same time, it just cancels exactly.
So that everything is normal. So they can't everything use their powers normal. Near each other.
Yeah.
That's cool. So they both have to just fight normal around each other.
So yeah, like it's all maneuvering and I like the thinking element of this, because so typically, you know, the Flash just literally runs so fast and then punches someone, mm-hmm. and like that's kind of the way he solves the problem. Mm-hmm. He
spins his arms very fast
and makes a tornado. Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
He just like spins them in tiny little circles.
Yeah, like, he makes a turbine.
He makes like a siren sound, like a little baby, just like woo woo, and then it makes a tornado, like a big good windmill fan. Okay, I like this a lot for Reverse Flash. All right, let's talk about some. Who are his other notable members of his rogues gallery? You've got Captain Cold, who is basically mm-hmm. just Mr. Freeze again.
Yeah,
you have
A little bit less tragic, I guess. Yes. Although Bruce Timm invented the tragedy.
You also have Gorilla Grodd, who is a telekinetic, telepathic gorilla.
Super smart gorilla, not just a telekinetic normal gorilla.
Yeah, super intelligent. Well,
if we were doing a joke reboot, we would definitely do that, because that's a good idea.
That is a really good idea. Like a regular gorilla that can move stuff with his mind.
He's just telepathic, but normal. Like, he just pulls bananas.
He can communicate.
All right, but we're not doing a joke podcast.
Get it together. We got to not do jokes. It's so hard. Okay. We're serious now. We're trying to get out of the mailroom.
So for our Gorilla Grodd, I'm thinking more like Caesar from the rebooted, you know, Planet of the Apes.
He's a small monkey.
A people smart gorilla who has a lot of skills. I don't know. That's a part of the Flash that it's always been kind of tough to swallow.
What if Gorilla Grodd isn't a gorilla anymore, and he's just like a big, beefy dude, and that's his.
And he just calls himself Gorilla Grodd, like that's his nickname.
I think that's what he was. We could go a little self indulgent here, and that's like everyone called him as like his gang, like his street name.
Yeah, we can inject a little bit of like the Gotham TV show into this, where we kind of
that he was so big, and that's what the kids at school called him to make fun of him.
Yeah, we decrease the, what is it called? We decrease the costuming budget. You know, we kind of more streamline the humanity of these people mm-hmm. so that it's not a literal gorilla, it's a man.
And now his last name is Grodd.
Yeah, and everyone called him Gorilla because he was big and dumb in high school.
Yeah, his name's like Gary Grodd or something.
Yeah, and so everyone called him Gorilla.
I think they called him Gorilla. I don't think he was dumb, though. I think he was very, like, he's a nerd, and so everyone they all made fun of him. Was dumb. Yeah, he's like a huge nerd.
He's smart.
Who didn't want to play
football.
He's
smart, but he takes care of his body.
He's smart, but takes care of his body, and he's also very huge. Mm-hmm. And so then maybe he gets some chemicals dumped on him that makes him mind powers.
Oh, yeah.
But he's just like
that's kind of an all, you know, maybe in like a later thing we cover how, but that's just all we need to know mm-hmm, right now. Mm-hmm. So I like telekinesis is good. The original Gorilla Grodd also had telepathy. Are we getting into that?
Yeah, that's just all the brain powers.
Yeah, yeah. So
when
he would
first meet him, he's actually doesn't have any of his brain powers. He's just like a very smart, like another like mastermind character, but who can also mm-hmm. like, you know, he can duke if he wants to.
Yeah, yeah. He can slug it
and
out.
And
I kind of like that. So The one of the reasons the telepathy angle is big is because, like, he can, if he's reading the Flash's mind, he'll have time to react to the super speed because he knows what's about to happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we won't give him telepathy up front just because then, mm-hmm. especially, and this is the thing that works really well for a lot of comic reboots where you introduce a character who has, like, slightly different abilities or doesn't yet have the abilities and everyone knows they got to be coming soon. And then and then eventually we will, and everyone will be like, "Ah, there it is." Now he's
yeah.
The gorilla
I really
Grodd,
like if
know.
The first couple encounters are Grodd like
gets his brain transplanted into a real gorilla,
anticipating the Flash's movement, but it's not explained.
Right.
He's like, "How did he know I was gonna, you know, go do that?"
What if eventually he gets his brain transplanted into a gorilla's body?
Oh, like later down the line.
Way later. Gorilla.
Yeah, so another kind of, so, you know, like a Legion of Doom or whatever. So typically the Reverse Flash is who ends up like rounding up villains for like the big crossovers of Flash stuff. Because the Reverse Flash has like the most research. In the comics, it would be because in the future, he just looks at history books mm-hmm. and like knows about all the villains.
Yes. Okay, I'm here looking at a list of Flash enemies on Wikipedia. We could go from the Silver Age, the Golden Age, or the Modern Age. Now, the Silver Age, the Golden Age does have a character called the just Fiddler, who is...
Just a flute monster?
He's a snake charmer. He snake met a charmer. Fakir.
I feel like if it's the Golden Age, which is the, you know, the 70s or 80s, yeah. I feel like that has to be like a racist character, doesn't it?
He was a thief who was arrested in India, sent to jail. He met a Fakir who was charming a snake in his cell, who taught him the mystic art of Indian music.
Yeah.
For the next 5 years, he learned the modern secret age. And made a crude violin of material he could scrounge in the prison. He developed the ability to use his violin to play sounds that could either hypnotize others, shatter objects, or create barriers. So, I mean, we could absolutely get rid of the racism angle and just, you know, make the Fiddler a thing again, bring back all these old-timey characters.
Yeah, we could give them new life.
How about Big Sur?
All right, tell me about Big Sur.
Big Sur, born Doofus P. Ratchet.
So we're changing that.
Had a malformed brain gland that caused him to grow to incredible proportions, but left him mentally handicapped. He was later abducted from his central city.
Boy, you just can't.
Right?
You just can't be in a comic in the 70s without stepping on something,
This is 1984.
Oh my God.
He was abducted from his central city mental hospital by a group of supervillains, the Rogues Gallery. I did not know that the Flash's rogues were actually called the Rogues Gallery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
I knew a Rogues Gallery is like your list of villains.
Because they're the Central City Rogues is the name of the group.
So they equipped
That's what they call themselves.
They equipped him with a high-tech suit of armor created by the Monitor, who's a thing. The suit was heavily armored, could fly, and included a powerful energy flail. However, it also made him susceptible to telepathic suggestion. Oh, so he's just like a patsy.
Yeah.
I don't want to do him. Okay, so we've also got Pied Piper, who is similar to the Fiddler, because he can use his flute to hypnotize people.
Okay.
He became obsessed with sound, pursued little else in life, experimenting with sonic technology, invented a technique of hypnotism through music, and a way to cause deadly vibrations. The Flash can also vibrate. Oh, that's the other thing we didn't talk about. Flash has a power that lets him vibrate so fast he can move through walls. Are we getting rid of that? Hard to do that with
oh, yeah, he can phase shift because he can make himself, like, vibrate against matter.
Hard to do that with time powers, though.
Yeah.
So I say we get rid of it.
That's hard to do. I think that he fakes it, like he just walks around the wall.
And everyone's like, how did you... Yeah, he spends 2 days picking the lock, but everyone else thinks he just instantly got through.
He just instantly opened it, yeah.
He does have a villain named Top. And
yeah, I do want to say, so we're not making a joke podcast, but The Flash as a comic series is usually... has a lighter tone.
Yes. And
like the Flash makes the jokes.
The Flash makes
Gorilla
the jokes. Gorilla
Grodd is a character.
He's kind of the DC Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Well, let's talk about Captain Cold, because he's kind of a big one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a guy who has a cold gun.
He has a cold gun. He makes ice, he shoots the boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, he has a gun that just shoots cold ice. He has very cool
Yeah, he,
glasses.
Like, freezes stuff. So the whole thing with the Flash is that he makes the ground slippery, so that, like, no matter where he's running, like, it's slippery.
So
stuff like that.
Okay, so what's his rebooted stuff? Does he still just have cold gun?
So I mean it's pretty classic to the character to have, like, you know, because he's a human that's like a good criminal that has like good technology. That's kind of his thing. Mm-hmm. But I think in our rebooted universe he might have some expanded. I think the cold gun is his go-to, but he has other technology.
Okay, so cold can slow. Can he somehow like?
Like, how cold? Are we talking, like, he can get to, like, Kelvin zero and, like, make it so that the time stuff is, like, not...
I was going to say, could his cold somehow also neutralize time stuff?
Yeah. I think... I don't know if it can neutralize. I really like Reverse Flash, Reverse Time Speed, being the only one who can actually,
yeah,
like, cancel the ability.
I agree.
But I think if the Flash gets hit by the cold, he isn't moving as fast relatively. Like, it decreases the effect of his time.
Yeah,
slow.
Maybe Captain Cold... Well, no, because that's just Mr. Freeze. I was going to say maybe, like, his body is very cold, but that's just Mr. Freeze. I don't want to just...
That's just Mr. Freeze.
What if Captain Cold was very hot all the time and he was always trying to get cold?
Oh, and he has the cold... Like, he had, like, a cold suit.
Ah, but that's Mr. Freeze again.
That's Mr. Freeze again. Hold on.
Well, okay, we can.
I like the idea that he's using, he himself personally needs the cold, and it's not just
okay. What if this? What if he's always cold and he's trying to get himself hot? He's always trying to heat up, and so he's got the heat gun, and he's got like, he's got a suit that makes him hot instead of cold. They call him Captain Cold because it's kind of ironic, and he's got very low.
Okay, so we're gonna combine him with another Flash villain called Heatwave. Yeah. So Heatwave is Captain Cold, but instead of a cold gun, he has a flamethrower. He's a little bit less,
cool.
Original. Yeah.
So now they're both the same character. We'll call him Captain Cold as a joke, but he's
Captain Wave Heat
Cold Wave.
Cold Wave?
I think it's funny if they call him
Temperatura.
They call him Captain Cold because he's always complaining about how cold it is in here. It's like how people from Miami.
Oh, so he's my mom.
Yeah. It's like how people from Miami have to put on sweatshirts when it's 70 degrees outside.
We made jokes. We can make jokes as long as we don't make the thing a comedy.
He's like he always feels like it's very cold, and so they call him Captain Cold as a joke.
Oh, so he's on fire and feels like everything under 100 degrees is cold.
Yeah, he's always like, it's so cold in here, and everyone's like, all right, Captain Cold.
Okay. So we kind of have this recurring theme of like, the Flash's villains are made fun of by the people around them.
Yes.
And that's kind of why they're so angry.
Yeah, it's a bullying message, an anti-bullying message.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem making this kind of a bullying soapbox. I think it's a pretty big problem in our society.
I agree. Okay, so I think we've got time for a couple more. The two who I want to hit are Trickster and Weather Wizard.
All right, let's do Weather Wizard first, okay, because we're going with this temperature theme.
Yeah. You got something?
So the Weather Wizard is basically Storm from the X-Men.
Yes. So we want to make it so that he's not that.
He's not that. So one of the two kind of big things that the Weather Wizard plays on is like lightning and then like wind, right? Like that's kind of... So I feel like we're arranging against the Flash this kind of elemental rogue.
Yeah, I like it. Here's what I want. I want Weather Wizard to be an actual wizard.
Yeah, so the DC Comics is established as having magic and wizards in it. Yeah,
but he is not a wizard normally.
He's only a wizard for the weather.
Well, he's just got like, he has technology that lets him control, or like something happens to him and he gets the superpower to control weather, but it's not magic. It's just like, it's like Storm.
It's like cloud seeding, but really fast.
Well, it's like Storm. Like Storm's not magic. She just controls weather. So I want him to be an actual wizard, and I want him to be like long flowing robes.
So he knows magic spells, but then also gains a non-magical power for the weather.
I think he's a wizard who specializes in weather magic.
Okay, so it is magic then. Yeah, this is what I'm
saying. Yes, the new character has magic. I'm talking about the original character was not magic.
Yeah, okay, here's what I was confused. I thought you were also talking about the new character both times.
No, my mistake.
And then I was getting very conflicting messages.
My mistake.
The original character is not magical. He can just control the weather.
Correct.
Our new guy is going to be an actual wizard.
He's an actual wizard. I want, like, Merlin-ass clothes. Like, I want him to...
Like, spell books.
I want spell books. I want really long robes. I want a very long beard. I want him to be an old wizard.
Yeah, an old... He uses weather...
I want him to have a tall, pointy hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses weather. He can also do some other spells, but like his forte is...
What about... just stick with me for a second.
I'm with you.
We have the beard. Just the beard down to the belly button. Mm-hmm. We have the wizard hat with the printed stars and moons,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But then he's just wearing a navy blue three-piece suit.
Okay. I'm into that a lot.
I really like that look.
I really like that look too. Now... Okay, so that's Weather Wizard. He gets his powers.
He's the CEO of like a company.
Yes,
he uses the weather control to like adjust. You know, like climate futures.
He's cashing in. Yeah. He's causing climate change, and he's also selling like preventative measures.
Like he short sells corn futures, and then sends a tsunami to Kansas.
He does that, but I think he can also be the one like causing global warming, but then he's also like leading the forefront in like global warming preventative green technologies.
He's profiting on both sides of the war.
You get it.
Yeah. He's a war dog.
A war dog. That's the thing.
And so his group is called the War Dogs.
The War Dogs. Hell yeah. And okay,
because he has like people he orders
around. I only mentioned one other one that I wanted to do, but it's because I forgot about this one. So Trickster, we can get to. He's basically the Flash's Joker.
Yeah, we'll do the Trickster last because he's kind of the big one.
All right, so the other guy I do want to get to is Captain Boomerang.
Okay, so original Captain Boomerang is like very stereotypical Australian man. Mm-hmm. He throws the boomerang. It sometimes comes back. He always fails. He's kind of like a joke villain.
Yeah, his name is George, nicknamed Digger Harkness.
Mm-hmm.
And
so kind of the whole thing is that Captain Boomerang is like robbing an ice cream man. And then the Flash just like on his way to stop a real crime, the Flash like drops Captain Boomerang off at jail for trying to rob an ice cream man. It's just like stupid stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so Captain Boomerang, should we keep in our theme of guy gets made fun of?
Yeah, so maybe he moved to Central City, USA from Australia.
And then he came
but
back.
Everyone keeps thinking that he's British, and it just gets on his nerves.
Okay, why would they call him Captain Boomerang then?
I don't know. Maybe he's not Australian.
Okay.
He's from New Zealand, but everyone thinks he's Australian. Thinks he's Australian. And in high school, he gets the nickname Captain Boomerang.
Is that too much of a joke?
I mean, I feel like... So the Flash is a humorous property, and Captain Boomerang has always been the joke villain.
Yeah, I'll allow it. So our reboot of him
is... He's like a toady in the rogues.
Our reboot of him is the exact same, except... He's the exact same character, except he's from New Zealand, and people call him Captain Boomerang just to
make
fun of him.
And he constantly is trying to educate people like on the difference, but they just don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. And they're all like, yeah, no, we don't care, man. You're Captain Boomerang. All right. Okay, and then finally we got the Trickster, a.k.a. James Jesse. Let me tell you, the 60s were a time for creative names.
Mm.
So James Jesse was a circus acrobat who decided to become a criminal just like his, quote, reverse namesake, Jesse James.
Reverse namesake.
He created shoes that allowed him to walk on air.
Cool.
To first help him in the trapeze shows his family was in. As every member of his family was a trapeze expert, and his father was.
I have to talk.
I have nothing afterwards. You go for it.
He created shoes to let him walk on air, and instead of saying, I will become so rich, he said, my trapeze act will be so good.
Correct.
Okay, good. All right.
Let me list his. Cool. Here's his list of abilities: skilled acrobat and con artist, above average intelligence.
Yep.
And then gadgets that give him the ability to perform amazing tricks like walking on air.
Love it.
So he's like, I just love above average intelligence. He's not like super intelligent.
He's not super intelligent. He's not
smarter
Lex
than most people. Okay, so
he didn't land that 1600 on the SAT, but he got like a 1530.
Here's what I want the Trickster to be. I want the Trickster to be a lot of different people.
Okay.
I want the Trickster to create the illusion. So he might at one point like Flash is chasing him and he goes around a corner and then suddenly he sees him like way farther away and he's like, how does he move so fast? And it turns out there's actually like 7 different Tricksters and they all like swap in and out to make it seem like he's in a lot of places.
Okay.
And also they can all walk on air.
I like the air walking shoes because he can use them to like dodge the Flash. He just is up in the air now.
Yeah.
He can, like the Flash can run on the ground.
He
but
also,
it's like, what?
Hold up. So at one point he comes back, he's gone in the state from America for a while. He comes back and uses his skills for good after he's like reformed from wherever he went. He saved Catwoman's life by tricking her into helping him, quote, kill her. Oh, because he faked her death. Man, Wikipedia sometimes is written bad. The FBI contacted and recruited him. He worked for them a while and then the top reappeared and turned the rogues world topsy-turvy by brainwashing several of them, causing the rogue war. I don't want to get into the Trickster's time as an agent, as an FBI agent. Is he an FBI agent?
Yes. I think this is a DC version of like S.H.I.E.L.D. where it's like people with gadgets that make up for the fact that they don't have powers trying to investigate people with superpowers.
But it's not like a fancy, it's not like a fictional new
organization. It's like the Men in Black.
But it's still just the FBI.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, what's that show? Like Alias or whatever.
Yeah, but it's just
FBI. Fringe. I meant Fringe.
Is Fringe a branch of the FBI?
I think they were. Hold on a second. To be honest with you, I watched like 5 episodes of Fringe. I've always heard it was a good
show.
Me
too. I would like to get to it.
They are FBI people who investigate unusual crimes.
Okay, yeah, he's part of, so he's kind of like maybe less of a straight up villain.
He's like an independent, not quite anti-hero. He has his own.
He's like a rival hero. He's like the Proto Man or the give me another good rival cartoon guy who's good, but like Meta Knight.
Yeah, he wants to do good, but he doesn't trust superheroes and he has his own agenda.
Yeah, and sometimes he and Flash fight, sometimes they work together reluctantly.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very tricky.
But and he's always trying to bring the Flash in, but then in the episode it's like you save that kid, just get out of here.
Yeah, let me talk to you about some of his trick gadgets. Itching powder, potato head bombs, exploding rubber chickens, and yo-yos.
Yeah, they really lean into the...
He's basically
the Joker. Not the Joker, but basically the Joker.
Yeah. Now, he was played by Mark Hamill in the original Flash live-action show and the new one, so that's
important. And the new one. They got him back. God.
Yeah, Mark Hamill's a huge nerd.
He's just so good at everything he does.
In the alternate timeline of the Flashpoint event, he's the trickster with an X.
Oh, like the
Tricks rabbit. Oh my gosh.
Like the rabbit.
He has hard shell candy. What does that mean? That's not a gadget.
I think it's for causing cavities. I think he's just an all around.
He makes it seem
just like anything that makes your life worse.
Is it like he hands you a Snickers and you try to bite into it and it's very hard and all your teeth break off?
Oh, man. Or what would be worse? That? Or he hands you a Snickers and you bite into it and it's a very thin outer chocolate shell, but then just fruit candy.
Oh, no. Okay.
And you're just like, oh, this is in my mouth now.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, do we have anything else for the Trickster?
I like the idea of the Trickster as a coalition of people acting as the single entity, the Trickster.
Yeah.
I kind of like this faction thing we're building up. So we have the Rogues, the Tricksters,
and the
FBI and the kind dogs. Of all present.
And the War Dogs.
And the War Dogs, just all present in Central City. Mm-hmm. And so any given plot is, you know, different, it's one families. Of them. And then, you know, there's alliances and betrayals among the villain factions.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. What if each Trickster has only one gadget? Each of them has a different thing. So sometimes people report the Trickster being able to walk on air. Some people report him being able to, like, teleport or something, like, and it's all different Tricksters, each with their own
Trickster
thing.
In order to get into the Tricksters, you need to invent something to use against the Flash.
Yes.
And they're all each one is using their own invention.
Yes, and it has to be like a Trickstery thing.
Yeah, it has to be something you can use to confuddle.
So one guy is like, he can create like a hologram machine that makes him look like other people.
Yeah,
one guy,
and
can
then another guy, he has the air boots. He's the original Trickster.
Ridge Trick. That's good.
A Ridge Trick.
One guy has, he can shoot lightning from his joy buzzers.
Yeah, I don't want to step on Weather Wizard's toes, but
fair.
Yeah.
One guy can.
He has his left hand is like a metal glove that can shoot lightning.
One guy has a bike horn that creates like supersonic blasts.
Yeah, like a shockwave.
Yeah.
Like an earthquake. Like, they don't always have to be clown themed.
I think they all got to be Trickster themed.
Yeah, but they don't have to be, like, the guy created a shockwave machine, and then when he joined the Tricksters, they made it look like a horn.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like when they join up, they get the shtick.
The shtick. Okay, I'm into it. All right, we should probably call it there. We're coming up on 46 minutes.
Whew.
Long movie. we're gonna end it there. Thanks everybody for listening. We hope you like this new serious direction we're going in. This is gonna be
permanent format change. Yeah. Please review it for us.
Yes, please give us,
or tweet us if you hate it. I don't know.
Yeah, what we really want is what we always want, and that's good iTunes ratings and reviews. So if you like the show and you're excited about this new direction, please go ahead and give us those ratings. That helps us out a ton with visibility. You can find us on the internet at rebootleggers.org or on Twitter at rebootleggers. Until next time, I'm Scott Owen.
I'm Frank Sarah.
Frank, what's our password for next week?
Our password for the next week is Zoom Zoom, brought to you by Mazda.